was lurking in the dark. Under the moonlight, you see a sight that almost stops a heart. You try to scream, but terror takes the sound before you make it. You start to freeze as horror looks you right between the eyes. You're paralyzed.
Good evening, Jennifer.
Good evening, Ed.
Good evening, Josh.
Welcome to the Gleeful Podcast with Josh, Jen, and Ed. We are back with a new episode of Glee, ladies and gentlemen.
I know, right?
So exciting. We are all very excited. It's thrilling to be back with a new episode of Glee.
Are you sure it isn't thrilling
to be back?
Nice! I didn't even do that on purpose. I'm totally going to take that one. Woo!
Nice.
So, welcome back. We are excited to be back. Glee episode 2 night post-Super Bowl. I can't wrap my head around the fact that... See, I grew up on the West Coast, and so the Super Bowl always starts at 3:30, and then afterwards, when they always have whatever that big episode is... I remember, when I was a kid, there was a huge episode of The Wonder Years that came on right after.
There was a
Cosby Show. Yep. They always put a big episode right after the Super Bowl, and I remember that coming on at, 8 o'clock... 7:30. I cannot believe that you East Coasters, doesn't even come on until 11.
11:30, 12 wow. Sometimes, yeah.
Craziness.
It's madness.
We just got an email from listener, I'm looking it up here. Listener Rick, who said, holy crap, it's 11:35 and they are still yammering on about the Super Bowl.
Oh, poor guy.
I don't think I'm going to be able to stay up to see Glee. Mm. So, that's crazy to me. But guys, pretty good episode.
Pretty great episode.
Fierce episode.
Yes. The buzz all over the Twitters, and we even got a question specifically from, let me give them credit here, Twitter. I am Floyd's mom. Asking,
I am Floyd's mom is super duper awesome.
well, Floyd's mom, you apparently are super duper awesome, and you have a picture of a very cute dog. But anyway, she asked us if we agree with the Gleek spot that writes, in all seriousness, that was the best Glee episode since the first 13. And so I'm going to put that right to you guys, Jennifer.
Wow.
What do we think? Best episode since the first 13?
Oh, God. Okay, we just finished watching it.
Yes, so best? To the listeners, wait, before we get too into this discussion, to the listeners, we are going to forget a ton of stuff.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
Because we usually watch the episode 3 times before we record.
At least. And then, collectively,
I missed the first
10.
5 minutes, so there's literally stuff I missed.
Okay. But we really wanted to get this episode out because we know you guys are going to be dying for it. And then we're going to have another episode later in the week to talk about.
Yeah.
So bear with us because we will forget things.
Yes. But as far as the quality of this episode, I would say definitely on par and definitely very reminiscent of the first 13. There was something about it. There was a quality about it. It wasn't just... there was something about the confrontation and the drama and then the different personal goings on that was just very reminiscent of the first season of Glee. So if not better than, at least as good as.
Ed, what do you think?
I'm not even gonna say it's that. I mean, it was great, don't get me wrong, and it's just great for it to be back. But I just feel like, I don't know, there's still episodes that are still in my heart, like Mattress and Sectionals, and which was the first 13. And then Special Education was so good. Like, I will be talking about Special Education until I die. So, I don't know. I don't know if it's as good as that, but it's great. It was great.
I agree with you both. It was a great episode, and I mean, as good as the first 13, my litmus test is there were no tears. Either sad or happy tears.
I cried.
Well, there you go.
I got a little choked up. I got definitely choked up.
That's the moment I decided it was a great episode, when I cried.
Aww. Well, and that's how I, that's really when I know, I'm watching something I'm going to remember. Mm-hmm. And I didn't tear up on this one, though there were great moments. And I agree with what you said, Jennifer. If it's not, I don't consider it to be as good, or maybe, you know, certainly not better than the first 13, but definitely in the spirit of.
Yeah.
It really brought back, and I think that what it is that brings it back to those elements is it was so unifying. The episode didn't have an A story and a B story that didn't quite line up. You know, the last couple episodes we've had, like the marriage episode, Sue's plotline didn't quite work. The Christmas episode, the B plotline didn't quite work out. In this episode, everything worked together.
Yeah,
all the subplots, everything kind of added up to one whole. And I do think that it also brought us back to Finn and Rachel in this episode.
And Quinn.
And Quinn.
Oh, my goodness.
In a big way. And
oh my
that
God, yeah.
that I, you know, is when we're, as I said in our in the episode Jennifer and I had, What's Your Favorite Character?
Mm-hmm.
Finn is my favorite character. And to see him succeed and to see him really get acknowledged, mm-hmm. I love it when we come back to our core. So, yes,
yeah.
I think that to me is why it did feel like the first 13. But, I mean, I wouldn't say it was better. It was definitely on par with the first 13.
Ed? Yeah.
If I were to have a complaint, so I can just get it out of the way and be like, this show was epic beyond that. If I were to have a complaint, I feel like Sue was a caricature of herself. That's my one complaint.
Well, I'll give you that. You know, Sue definitely acted more unrealistically than we've seen in a while. I mean, wanting to essentially kill Brittany.
She's so unreasonable, and I don't know, maybe they just did this. I feel like it was strictly because, like, there are people who just heard about Sue Sylvester, so they have this notion about her. And they're tuning in the Super Bowl, and they would be disappointed if Sue Sylvester wasn't as Sue Sylvester as they envisioned, because the fact is the idea is always greater than the person. So so it was just like it had to do it for the sake of that. So that's it.
End of thought. I think the other thing with Sue's storyline this week is that over this particular season, we've become so accustomed to her, you know, either letting down her guard or showing or seeing the, you know, the softer, more
reasonable,
but not sensitive, but just the more vulnerable side of Sue.
Mm-hmm.
And in this particular episode, it was just all, you know, like one side Sue. And so it's been a while since we've only seen just that from her.
That is a good point. I mean, it was definitely pure. This episode was written by Ian Brennan. And as we've said in the past, you know, Ian Brennan writes all of Sue's best rants when she is, as you know, when Sue says those things that we go, oh my God, I can't believe she said that. That's Ian Brennan's writing. And so you're right. And that might be part of his doing, that we really got a very one-sided Sue in this episode. I'm totally okay with one-sided Sue. Like, it actually got a little too two-sided for a while when Sue was being almost a little too soft and almost a little too reasonable. And it's so great to have her rocking, you know. But at the same time, it was true, like trying to fire Brittany out of a cannon.
Oh,
and
but the way she was trying to manipulate Brittany by sending a cartoon letter from
that
the cannon.
That was awesome.
That was the most believable thing.
That was very Sue.
Oh, I think that was awesome. And,
yeah.
You know,
that was the
cannons
most
on the side.
Part of that.
Mama Cannon has fibroids and can't work.
Yes, now the Cannon's wife, right?
The Cannon's wife, yeah.
So the Cannon
Mama
has
Cannon.
To support the whole family.
Oh, so funny.
That was some really... And so at the same time, like, Sue had great moments in this episode. Like,
absolutely.
She had some of her better lines we've heard in a while.
Yeah.
But you're right, Ed. I think she was a bit too caricature of Sue. And she got name-checked in the title, which seemed really odd for... I mean, when I actually saw the... When we actually watched the episode, the title seemed kind of a throwaway, the Sue Sylvester Shuffle. I don't know.
Yeah, because we actually never really saw her halftime show.
Yeah.
Like, we never saw her, her regional show. But seriously, how about that tattoo?
Oh, the tattoo was Sylvester.
See, was that in the first 5 minutes? Because I missed that.
Awesome. Oh. Well, so the plot of this episode, as far as Sue's concerned, is that Sue actually was trying to create her regionals performance for the Cheerios and had just reached a point where she couldn't go any bigger. They opened up with the big California Girls number, which was a little odd because it was just a recording of the Linda Perry.
Wow.
Whoa.
Katy Perry
song.
I mean, I think
I'm
they did
sorry, Linda Perry. That was not nice.
But they've done that before for other Cheerios.
Yeah, they that was like the first scene of the first episode.
Yeah,
it's like, true.
In the Madonna, when they did their Madonna thing, but yeah, so like, you know, they're dancing with fire, they're doing acrobatics, they have bikes, they have all these crazy things, but yet Sue was underwhelmed.
Yeah.
So she was just trying to up her game or up her enthusiasm level by bringing in the cannon.
By bringing in the cannon. So that was pretty epic. I mean, so Sue's trying to, you know, make it more interesting. And those shots when they first bring out the cannon, you know, I make a habit of not trying to touch carnies.
Carny
folk. Great stuff. But we could not figure out what the carny said back to her.
No.
That might be a derogatory term. So if it is, I apologize. Well, but
the carnival worker.
Yes, the carnival worker. Yeah. We couldn't figure... Ed, did you see this part at the beginning?
No, I missed
okay.
That.
Okay.
The first scene I saw was Need You Now. So everything before I didn't see.
Got it.
Well, we did get... So, you know, that was kind of Sue's plot line in this one, was trying to be bigger, trying to really, mm-hmm. you know, add a new dimension to the show so that she could be bigger than ever.
Yeah. She needed more excitement for her.
And then as far as the Glee kids, of course, we had Finn trying to, or I guess Beast and Mr. Shu at first, mm-hmm. trying to reunite the football team, trying to create some unity in the group.
Well, yeah, it actually also kind of came from the fact that some of the players on the football team were letting down the players on the football team who were also on the Glee Club because they weren't going to support them. And so they actually ended up losing a game.
Yes.
Because Karofsky let people hit Finn or something like that.
You know, that's an interesting discussion, because when I saw that, I read it where Finn just dropped the ball and then blamed it on Karofsky.
I think he got intimidated. I think what, I mean, the way
Yeah, that, he just got so intimidated.
He got so intimidated, you know, like Karofsky got in his head and said, hey, I'm not going to protect you. So he dropped the ball because he saw the other guy coming at him. So it was basically, you know, the team letting...
Yeah.
Letting each other down.
Ed, what did you think of that moment? Did you think Finn dropped the ball, or do you think Karofsky got out of the way? Or the combination of the two? Oh, you didn't see that part.
I don't know what you're talking about.
No, because remember,
so
then,
sorry. Yes.
Then the coach, Beast and Shu.
Yeah, I was wondering why the football team was in the choir room, but yeah. like the band that's just there, I just accepted it.
You just accepted it. We did have our bass player this episode, yeah. Consistent bass player.
And then a new girl playing guitar.
Who was horrible. She did not look at all like she was even touching those strings.
Anyhow.
She was holding her hand in the right way. I'll give her that.
Shu and Beast decided that the only way to, you know, get rid of this division or this animosity between the two groups was to make both groups be in both activities. So,
yes,
well, that's a logical thing to do. I know, but whatever.
Well, I mean, there is some history to it. I mean,
they work for Puck.
It worked for Puck. I mean, actually, in the real world, you know, this is kind of a common thing where if two groups are warring, you try to throw them into each other. And I have heard stories of football teams being given dance lessons to teach them movement on the field. Mm-hmm. But actually, no, it wasn't that first season when they did the single ladies number.
Yeah.
Which I tweeted during the show, or during the Super
during
Bowl.
During the Super Bowl.
but I guess we can go ahead and take a listen to that. The first, the first original number of the mm-hmm. show was when Puck and...
Rachel,
thank you. I was about to say Puck and Finn, which would have been hilarious.
that would have been much more hot.
performing Need You Now, the Lady Antebellum song. And let's go ahead and take a listen to that.
Your perfect memories scattered all around the floor. Reaching for the phone, 'cause I can't fight it anymore. And I wonder if I ever crossed your mind. For me, it happens all. It's a quarter after one. I'm all alone and I need you now. Said I wouldn't call, but I lost all control and I need you now. And I don't know how I can do without. I just need you now.
Now, Idol Review listeners, if you're watching Idol, Jennifer and I are doing the Idol Review at www.theidolreview.net or .com. And you can follow our coverage of that as well. But for the Idol Review listeners, you'll know that Josh is pretty bored with modern country music, but I can't not listen to this song and tear up a little bit. There's just something about this song that just works for me every damn time.
It's so funny that you brought that up, because I've been having this debate with people lately, because like every so often I can be caught singing a country song. This is true. Usually, who's that?
Shameful.
Who's been under, usually. And
wait,
and
what? Know, like, what song? What?
Who's bed have your boots been under?
Really? Wow, you're rolling it back for that one.
Who's that? Okay. Anyways,
that's like 96, dude. 95.
I don't know. I was into it lately, and I've been getting frustrated by people who are like the country haters. And like, oh, I just hate, there are the people who are like, I just hate country. And yeah. I just get so frustrated with them because in every genre, there's good music and there's terrible music. That is true of everything.
Oh, you totally.
So people never trust generalizations. I realize this is a generalization, but that makes it more ironic. And it's so frustrating, these people who can't separate that there's good music from all genres. And like, I don't know. I feel like genres are a thing of the past. Like we are entering an era of where it's just music. And I would say that some music has more qualities that are similar to other music than others, but I think it's genres only truly existed because at one point or another, when they were in CD stores and cassette stores and vinyl stores, they had to organize things somehow. And so they like separated things and they kind of give you an idea of like what, like if you like this one country song, more one country band, you might like another one. I don't know. But it's just...
Well, okay.
Rant over.
Yeah, I know. I totally disagree with you. But I will say that I don't know if gleeful is the right forum for this discussion. But I will say that there are genres in music. It's just that I think that what you're referencing, Ed, is popular music. Like yeah. Stuff you hear on the radio is a genre. And there are subtle variations where it goes pop direction or like dance direction or ballad direction or R&B direction or country direction. And those all are pretty much one genre. But if you were to put like that Lady Antebellum song up, which is called country, against like a great, you know, like Patti Loveless number or Alison Krauss and Union Station or BR549, I mean, that's also country, but you would never compare the two. I mean, it's a totally different style. So to say there's no genre is...
Okay, you're right.
Within popular music as a genre, yeah, no, absolutely. It all kind of is subtle variations. And the concept, I like every type of music but country, which you hear people say a lot, is total BS. That's just silly.
Just kidding. If you're those people, I'm sorry.
No. I mean, it just means you haven't heard the right stuff. Or you just, you know, it's the same type of thing where my dad would say, I like every type of music but rap. But, you know.
But there's the same problem with...
Yeah.
With the I love only country people, too. I know that isn't true. You know it isn't true.
Yeah, of course
I
not.
Caught you singing... Kelly Clarkson the other day. I don't know.
Because at the end of the day, whether you, no matter what music you claim to love or hate, everyone likes Eminem's Lose Yourself. Like, you just can't not. Like, it's just, it's one of the greatest songs ever recorded. It's fine, you know?
You know what I like doing whenever I
everybody likes that Lady Antebellum song.
Whenever I get a hold of someone's iPhone or iPod or MP3 device, the first thing I do is I go to their top 25 most played lists. Uh-huh. And there's always, always a Guilty Pleasure or five in there. So
Hands off my iPod, Ed.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, because Jennifer's is just all Scissor Sisters.
Like, that's true.
The entire top 25. Okay, and Dream of a Blue Turtle.
I think it's a great album, but I haven't listened to it in about a decade.
It's okay. Mine is, like, at the moment, it's all Nilsson and Leonard Cohen, and that's just wildly pretentious.
Actually, my iPod is still fully loaded with Christmas, so.
Anyway, moving on. Let's talk about Glee, shall we? We had a Puckleberry number. It's been a while since we had a Puckleberry number. Is that our first, Ed, you always know these things. Is that our first Puckleberry duet?
I would say no, but I... No, it isn't because... Well, no, it isn't. It isn't. I can't remember what they were, but I know they existed.
Run, Johnny, Run. I mean...
Well, no, that was
no,
all
that
the guys.
That has been in...
Okay.
Whoa, I'm sorry.
Ben and Jesse Groth were in it, technically.
Well,
so.
I know, but I'm saying would that count, but apparently not. No, because they did a... They did something, and I remember him saying, you know, because we're Jewish, we can do this.
Yes, I heard. I'm thinking the same thing.
And I can't remember what song it is.
Well, it was fun to see them together, and of course she did it because she wanted to make Finn jealous.
And he sounded really good. His voice sounded a lot stronger in this song than I think I've seen.
Yeah,
Mark Salling did?
I felt like it didn't even sound like him.
It
That's
didn't.
What I was thinking.
But I'm like, because he sounded stronger. I mean, in my mind.
Well, definitely. I mean, that song.
That was great.
That song is kind of country and twang only, and so it did work very well for them.
Mm-hmm.
And it was really sweet. I enjoyed the moment a lot, and you know, it was fun to see a new pairing that we haven't watched in a little while. So then we also got the big "She's Not There" number. Jennifer, do you know why they performed "She's Not There"?
I was reminded by what Mr. Schuster said, but the band that originally performed it is called The Zombies.
Darn! Totally got it. Ed, did you know
that?
Yes.
I just Googled it, and I got it.
Oh, okay. Yes, the song
She's
Not There.
I was like, why did they do it? She's Not There. Oh,
yeah, performed by The Zombies.
I always thought that was by never mind. Anyway.
But I thought that was a nice way for them to break into that after Kurofsky said, hey, shouldn't we do a warm-up number?
Yeah. Well, we should talk about Kurofsky a little bit in this episode. You know, over the course of the episode, we got to see a couple different sides of Kurofsky. First, the Kurofsky that we've known thus far, then kind of a softening of him. Even when he kind of reached out to Finn and said, hey, let's do this warm-up number, kind of the She's Not There number, or which was the She's Not Their number, and let's, you know, talk a little bit about that, and then later, you know, where he ended up joining them on the field.
Right. Well, yeah, I mean, he kind of went from, you know, of course, you know, hating the idea to being okay with it to then hating it again, but then seeing how everybody was, you know, cheering and loving every second of the halftime show, then mm-hmm. So then he thought it was okay to be a part of it again, and then they won and that was great, but then, you know, now it's not cool again. So he's obviously struggling a lot with the fact about being on the Glee team.
Well, you know, I don't know if he's struggling so much with being on Glee. Personally, I would say just because I wonder if it wasn't kind of a means to an end. You know, for a moment. For in that moment, it was totally acceptable for him to get out on, you know, after everyone had already started mm-hmm. singing and dancing. It was kind of Kurofsky was never on the forefront of the acceptance of this idea. Like, he was always the last one
very
to show
weak,
up.
Him just accepting after everyone accepted it. Like, it was like, okay, well, whatever. Go away.
Yeah, but I mean, the look on his face when he was looking at them performing on the field and he was looking at the crowd cheering, it wasn't just like, oh crap, I'm missing out on this moment. I'm going to miss out on the title. He had that, like, kind of that look of excitement in his face that he wanted to be a part of it. So, yeah. I mean, I think that there's more to it than just him putting aside however he felt just to get the title and get to play.
I agree entirely. I think for those moments he was on the field, I'm sure that he was really in the moment. You know, I mean, there are those moments where if everyone's involved, you can kind of forget the problems you have with it. You know, it's kind of like when you're at a wedding and you're like, I don't want to dance. And then when everybody starts dancing, you can find like a nice 5-minute window in there where you're like, this is totally natural. I have no problem doing this. But I do understand that kind of mourning after, that kind of mourning after feeling where you're like, okay, well, I got what I wanted out of this situation, and it makes a lot more sense in my head to go back to the way I felt before, because, you know, carrying on this new feeling is going to be a lot harder and a lot more painful. But it was kind of interesting. I mean, I commended it's funny to say I commend Finn, like he's a real person, but I commended the Finn to, you know, kind of accepting that, like, you know, people can change if you give them a chance. And it would have been really easy for people to kind of just be like, hey, you were a dick before, you're still one now, and we're no longer interested in you. But people can change if mm-hmm. you give them a chance. And that was a nice message to get from the episode. Ed, how did you feel about Karofsky in this one?
Karofsky, I don't know. I was frustrated. Then I was angry. Then I don't know. It was. I feel like it was just frustrating overall.
It was definitely frustrating. I mean, it was definitely hard to watch him waffle back and forth. Certainly.
Yeah, I mean, I was really disappointed. I mean, admittedly, if he had gone along with Finn to apologize to Kurt and you know, make amends is Finn said he would need to do to be on the Glee Club, I would have thought, wow, that was awfully easy.
Totally.
I mean, he's obviously struggling with a lot of this stuff, you know, everything that happened with Kurt, everything that he's hiding from everybody else. It would have seemed way, way too easy. But yet there was a part of me that was really disappointed that he just went back to that.
Well, and that felt very real in a way because, you know, you don't get to win on the first batch. I mean, nobody changes overnight, but if you give them the opportunity.
And some people don't change at all.
Yeah, and that's exactly right. You know, he may never come to any form of self-realization. Honestly, if he does, if we do get an episode where Karofsky walks in and he's like, I love you guys, I was totally wrong before, I think that's going to be pretty emotionally invalid. I think a lot of us are going to be like, yeah, no, that's not the way the world works. But it was nice to have a window. You know, it was nice to have a moment where you can really, you know, see people as a, as real. You know, it's just kind of fascinating. You know, Ed, you've had your problems with Finn in the past. How did you feel about Finn kind of stepping up as a leader this time?
See, okay. I felt like in this episode, it wasn't sectionals coming together. It wasn't regionals coming together. Like, as we saw in season one of where he put aside his differences and they pushed through.
Mm-hmm.
But this was like finally Finn taking it and just like being the leader that he supposedly has been all this time.
Yeah. He wasn't just the accidental hero this time. He made a conscious decision and took action on it.
Yeah, I'm
just hoping that this is a legitimate character development. That's my, that He can't think he's getting pregnant from hot tubs anymore, okay? This type of stuff cannot happen.
Well, if he thinks he's pregnant from a hot tub, he really needs to go back to sixth grade biology.
you make a really good point. Jennifer?
Oh, no. I just... Yeah, it's... Yeah, I think it's like I still have that last scene in my head, and I'm like, wow, this does feel like season one again. You know, and you're just so torn because it's like, yeah, Rachel did a crappy thing for crappy reasons and handled it in a really crappy way. But I think Finn really cares about
her.
That's
so Rachel.
And he's, you know, and I know she really cares about him. And he has grown a lot now that, I mean, he and Quinn, when they were together, she domineered the relationship. She just... Mm-hmm. You know, it's no wonder that he had no clue about certain things. He just kind of went along with what he was told to do. And now Quinn is seeing this you know, newfound strength in him, and she's really attracted to it. And I'm like, but then Sam is so sweet, and I kind of, you know, I thought they were kind of cute together. And so,
well, yeah, and there you go. And that's still the next thing to talk about. Like, how do we feel about, you know, for one, Sam kind of standing up to Finn at the oddest time. Like, Finn's being more of a leader than he's been in a season and a half. Mm-hmm. But now Sam is taking this moment to kind of be like, hey, maybe I should be in charge.
Well, he's saying, you just, you know, you've been trying to unite these two groups for a year and a half and it hasn't worked.
Mm-hmm.
So
maybe it's somebody else's turn to try.
Yeah.
Well, it did kind of wake Finn up.
It did.
I mean, Finn did have to take that moment. Ed, how did you feel about Sam kind of stepping up in that place?
Well, he was. I thought he was justified. I mean, it might have been like an odd timing in terms of like finally now you realize this. But in terms of it being correct, it was correct.
Yeah.
He's been straddling this line, and he's been made literally next to zero progress, and. And that's that. And you, I always thought it was kind of unfair. The way that I thought, okay, not always. This episode, let me rephrase. This episode, I thought it was kind of unfair that Finn was like asking, like Finn's, and the guys are okay doing both football and Glee Club, but Quinn can't do both. Like obviously cheerleading. So I don't know. It felt somewhat hypocritical, and I know it's because of the situation they were in, but. Yeah. I was like, well, why can't she just do both? Even though she couldn't, but whatever.
Well, because Sue changed their competition date.
Yeah.
But why couldn't... Okay, why couldn't she, Steve, gone to the cheerleader competition? Because this wasn't a Glee competition. They could have lived without Quinn, Santana, and Heather Morris, Brittany. They could have lived without them.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that is a good point. I think... Yeah, I mean, as you were saying this, I was, you know, just what Jennifer said, mm-hmm. like, well, Sue, you know, created this situation where they right. had to choose. But you're right. I mean, at the end of the day, they didn't, this wasn't a competition.
It
would have been
at
just
stake.
Fun. Yeah, there was nothing at stake. Finn could have said, like, hey, you guys go do this and we'll get your backs and we'll be waiting for you when you get back.
But Sue.
Yeah, I don't understand why they had to quit.
Sue insisted that they sign the letter of resignation.
True.
So maybe it's just that's that it would ensure that they wouldn't choose, you know, one over the other during an event. Yeah, there was nothing at stake, but I understand, like, Finn going back for them. Finn going back. It's like, how can he insist to the guys that this is so important that we need everybody here, and then, but it's okay for, you know, the girls to take off.
Yeah.
I mean, they needed to band together as a group, and in his mind, having everybody there, well, I guess in everybody's mind, but, you know, he took it upon himself to insist that everybody were together so that it would be one united group.
That's a good point. I mean, you make a good point. Finn did kind of need them. It would have been a pretty hollow argument to the football players to be like, hey, we're going to let these guys go, but you're not allowed
to.
Yeah,
the Cheerios are going to go do their thing and, you know, because they're Cheerios.
And at the end of the day, we wouldn't have had Heather Morris in the Thriller number, which would have been a huge loss because she was like center stage
in that
number.
She's just so cute. She's like, I just don't want to die right now.
That was so...
Like, it was,
that was fantastic.
I've never heard a character just repeatedly say that, you know, in this fashion.
Let's go ahead and take a listen to She's Not There, which we went ahead and mentioned a little bit before we move on. This, of course, is by the Zombies, and I believe it was just the guys. I don't think any of the girls were in this one. So here's She's Not There.
The way she lied. Oh,
So I was trying to think. I just remembered the other band. The band that I thought did this was Guess Who, but they did She's Come Undone.
Similar sound.
Yes. But She's Come Undone, doesn't she like jump out of a window at the end? I think I read a comic book that was based on that song when I was in high school.
Wow.
See, and this is these are the tangents Josh goes on. let's talk about comic books I read in high school. Well, we definitely need to talk a little bit about Kurt and Blair. Blaine.
Blair? You know, okay, you know what I was realizing today?
Go on.
How much I've accepted Blaine as a part of the cast and for how little episodes he's actually been in.
I was thinking the exact same thing watching this, and the episodes he's been in, he's mainly walked in, done a song, and left.
Mm.
The Christmas episode, his scene of dialogue with Kurt was like 8 lines.
Yeah.
He just kind of walks in and he's like, hey, I support you. Awesome, you're great. I'm going to do a song.
But it's like, I think part of it is because you actually see the effect of the relationship on Kurt, that he has more presence. Even though he's not physically on screen,
yeah,
Kurt has, you know, this friend, this mentor, this support network now. So he's different, and I think that kind of radiates through the rest of the show.
I think it's also because Darren Criss is Darren Criss.
He's awesome.
People are just so happy to have him on. I'm happy to have him on the show.
When he burst through those doors tonight, I was like, yay.
Oh, totally. It was a fantastic number. It continues to be, you know, he continues to do these really fantastic numbers and and really prove his worth on the show. I mean, as much as Cord Overstreet has done on Glee, Darren Criss has had twice the impact with half the screen time.
Yeah, I mean, they definitely emanate different.
Yeah. And he didn't have to wear those Rocky shorts. So,
but I mean, even just watching, you know, Kurt watching the football game and cheering on his friends with his friend.
Yeah.
It was just a really special moment.
Would I look good in that blazer? The red trim.
Yeah, you do.
Would I?
You've got the shoulders and the narrow waist for it.
I'm taking that compliment to the bank. Ed, did you ever read on Kurt and Darren Kurt and Blaine in this episode?
You know what? It was weird how accepting I was. I was like, oh yeah, this is just how it is. Like this Kurt isn't with William McKinley anymore.
Yeah.
And I was like, I thought I'd feel weird because, you know, but then when he wasn't in the Chevy commercial, it took me a second to realize he wasn't even there, and B, I realized Finn wasn't there as well, and that confused
and
me.
Quinn was not there either.
And Cord's hair was crazy weird.
It was weird.
It looked different.
It was.
He had like a stubble too, didn't he? He looked different. Well,
so,
there's not much more. I mean, is there anything else we want to discuss about this episode? I don't have a lot. And I'm sure we're forgetting 80,000 things, but I warned you.
Yes. So. Maybe, yeah. What else was there? Oh, okay. Props to Tina for, diving for the ball and running with it.
I was screaming, Jenna, go, Jenna, go, Jenna, go, Jenna.
Oh, you did. Jennifer did, too. Jennifer, forgot she was watching a TV show.
Go, Tina. Go, Tina. I was, I was more excited about that than anything I saw on the Super Bowl today.
Yeah,
I know, right?
Except for that Volkswagen commercial, hands down. Best commercial ever.
That's a pretty classic
commercial. The little Darth Vader. So cute.
Ed, did we forget anything else about the episode?
I'm positive we did, but we will get back to that. We're gonna record Wednesday, right? Okay, that sounds like a good deal.
Yes, yes. If we forgot anything, definitely tweet us and let us know.
Yes, we'll watch the
show again, and we'll do our homework. But we wanted to get this one up because we're all so excited to have an episode to talk about. But we do need to talk about that Chevy commercial. That was weird. It was so weird.
Well, you didn't even understand it because you didn't watch the Super Bowl.
I flipped through it.
You didn't see the teaser commercial leading up to it. So during the Super Bowl, Sue comes to the Glee Club and she's like, "Hey, I just got a great opportunity for you guys to do a national TV spot, and it's with Chevy, and you're all gonna get a car." And, you know, of course, they're all flipping out. Brittany's like, I can't feel my face. You know, they're all really, really excited. Mm-hmm. And then when we see it a second time now during the Glee show, she's basically saying, well, the only reason I'm doing this is because if they, you know, do a national commercial, it makes them ineligible to compete in Glee altogether. So then they have this fantasy commercial, and I thought it was really cute.
It was just weird because it was such a commercial. Like, to have the cast of Glee...
It was a commercial.
Well, yeah, it was just the cast of Glee singing Chevrolet. Like,
it wasn't like it was
during
the program.
Get your Chevy in the USA. It was so odd.
It wasn't like it was during the episode and they were, like, doing product placement. This was a commercial.
True.
It was an out-and-out commercial.
It was a total... I'll give you that. If they were singing just another song that wasn't like a, you know, didn't have Chevrolet as a third word in every lyric, then it would have been less weird for me. But it was very odd to me. Ed, did you see this Chevrolet commercial?
And it was awesome. Lay
thank
awesome.
You.
Okay. I don't know. I don't know what you're talking about, Josh.
Well, I haven't heard that.
I'll beat
before.
Him up later. Don't
there
worry.
You go.
I'll explain
it to him tonight.
I want to hear that.
Well, I'm curious what other people thought. I mean, there's just a certain level of shilling that I shy away from.
Wait a second. You don't have a problem when they do those recycling commercials of like, hey, don't throw out those batteries. That's bad for the environment. We need to recycle.
Well, that is kind of a good cause. I mean, I give them a pass on that one because it's kind of a good cause.
It was a commercial.
Well, let's go ahead and take a look at some of the great tweets that we have been getting just since the show wrapped. A couple, Leah33 had said she can't wait to hear our thoughts about tonight's episode. We can't either. Millie Vane said, you know, Dina Lohan is going to blame Glee for Lindsay stealing that necklace
now. Oh, my God.
Now.
Oh, Dina Lohan. Okay. Oh, ZOMG Katie Couric and then ZOMG Dina Lohan. I freaked out. You know, Dina Lohan has a top 10 album. It's a holiday album released in the summer.
Really?
The chart runs year round.
Oh,
so,
my goodness.
I had no
idea.
You
know what? They can't put anything on making fun
just
of...
Just totally knocked over my microphone.
About making fun of Britney. So, Lindsay, this is all making fun of Dina, and I think she deserves every ounce of it.
It was that whole list that Katie Couric?
I know.
That was out of nowhere.
Pretty darn funny, because I typically don't like her.
Yeah, she was really funny. Her whole list of, like, the people that Sue Sylvester was a bigger loser than.
The economy.
Yeah.
9% unemployment rate.
Dina Lohan's dog.
Tiger Woods.
Tiger
Ouch.
Woods was still on the list.
Oh, wait. There was one other one that I was sort of like, ooh, that's kind of fresh.
Michael in New Jersey tweeted, I just heard Dina Lohan's head explode.
No, she's probably, only. Just like, she's probably thinking this is the most press she's gotten.
Oh, I mean, it keeps her relevant, and that's all she cares about.
And then... I just want to throw a shout out to Joey's Baby 956, who says many great things on the Twitter, and whose avatar is a picture from Beauty and the Beast, which
Aww.
Is my favorite Disney movie. So, yes, thank you to everybody who you can find us on Gleeful Podcast on the Twitter, and occasionally we say things. Ed, you tweeted a spoiler alert earlier in the week. And
it had spoiler alert in it. I thought about it.
Oh, totally. No, it was totally cool. I'm wondering if we shouldn't like write our names at the end of it because we got somebody who was like, "Whoa, this is obviously not from Josh." And yeah, this one was from Ed, which
it
is totally cool.
You just tweeted like literally 10 seconds before that.
Oh, did I?
I was like, but I really wanted to tweet at that moment. So
was
like,
it
whatever.
Was it a spoiler for
whatever.
This episode?
It's awesome. It was yes, I think it was a spoiler from this episode.
It was. I just put thriller, I think, in the video.
Well,
I mean,
it wasn't super. Yeah, I mean, that was in the previews.
Oh, well, there you go. I didn't even look at the clip. I was afraid. I was terrified. My mother texted me during the episode tonight and asked, "Are you in zombie heaven?" For the listeners that are, quote, in the know, Josh has... a screenplay about zombies, and then of course I have Zombiewood Pines, which you can find at www.zombiewoodpines, which is an internet blog and internet
web
TV
series,
show that
yeah.
I do about zombies.
That he wrote,
that I created. So you can find that. Yes, mother, I was in zombie heaven. That was pretty hilarious. The whole brains thing at the end was totally absurd, but it was kind of what I call the Jaws moment. Like at the very end of Jaws, when he shoots the air canister inside of Jaws's mouth and Jaws explodes, which like is totally unrealistic on 90 different levels.
Yes, we saw it on Mythbusters.
But they told Steven
Don't tear apart Jaws.
I know. So when Steven Spielberg was filming that, the writer said, this is totally unrealistic. And he said, yeah, but if they've been with me for the last 90 minutes, they're totally going to buy this. And that's how
Good
I
point.
Felt about the ending of this episode, that last play,
yeah,
where I'm like, I've been with you.
Me.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. It was a little silly, but I totally bought it because I was on the train and up to that point. I was ready to go.
You drank the Kool-Aid.
I did. One of my favorite comic book writers is Brian Michael Bendis. He is on the Twitter, and his tweet tonight, oh, by the way, if you're into comic books, Torso is amazing. He wrote, Daddy, what's a ninja poop? Thanks, Glee. So,
oh, wait. Who was number 22 on the football team? Because they're a ninja.
Oh,
yes,
like,
oh they're a ninja.
I was so close to
It's
got to
be Mike. It's got to be Mike.
Well, that's what I thought, but... Or, I don't know. I didn't know if it was one of the girls or something. But they wouldn't have known that the girls are going to be playing, so they wouldn't have had a sign ready. I don't know. I'll have to look back.
I'm sure somebody
caught it.
And Perez Hilton tweeted during the episode, personally, I would be honored if Glee name checked me in an episode, even if they were dissing me. I don't see how they would be tweeting or talking about you any other way, Perez, but I think that's a challenge for the writers now. I'd like to see what they can do.
Did you see Perez in the new Rihanna video?
No. Moving on.
No, I'll have to check that out.
But that's about it. We got some great emails continuing the aunt debate. I want to thank
all the closet aunters came out.
All the closet aunters come out. Thank you, Edward.
Didn't know they were closeted.
I think we're just going to have to call this one a truce because there's really no win. We actually had one. We actually had one listener who said, "When speaking of my aunts, I say aunt." But when speaking to my aunts, I say aunt. So
there you go.
I think that's the easiest way to say,
compromise.
What are we going to do? There's no way to go on that one.
It's funny because when I do refer to your aunts.
You call them aunt. Because I call them aunt.
Yeah, it's exactly. yeah.
So yes, thank you so much for that. Ed, would you like to thank any iTunes reviewers?
Yes, I'd like to thank Molly, as she is our only iTunes reviewer this week. Thank you, Molly. We appreciate it.
Thank you, Molly.
Yay.
But you was awesome, Molly. Got us to 30 pages.
Awesome.
Are you serious?
30 yep. pages. That's very cool.
Holy shnikes.
Well, if anyone, if you haven't reviewed us on iTunes, we would much appreciate it. You can also find us on the Twitter at Gleeful Podcast. You can email us at gleefulpodcast@gmail.com. Check out the website, which is www.gleefulpodcast.com. And you can join the Facebook fan page where I know Ed spends some time on there and you can chat with Ed, which is always fun. And then I tend to man the emails and the Twitter a bit more. But you never know.
Up.
You never know who you're gonna get. That's what I'm saying. We got all kinds of exciting stuff going on. We will be back in a couple days to talk more about Glee. How crazy is that? Jennifer's very excited.
I'm excited. This is fun.
It's kind of hilarious that this is one of the most energetic shows we've had in a while, and it's like way late for everyone.
I know. It's.
I mean, mind you,
it's early.
It's one in the morning for Ed.
It's almost one in the morning for Ed, and it's 9:45 for Josh and Jen, which means it's like. For Ed, you're like just getting ready to go, and Jennifer and I are like ready for bed.
Yeah, I'm ready to go back to work after this. It's gonna be fantastical.
Yeah, I'm gonna pet the cat and go to bed.
All I can think about is nap time. God, we're old. What happened there, Ed? We're impressed.
And envious.
And envious of your energy. So that's pretty much it for us. We're gonna leave you with Darren, Chris, and the Warblers. performing Bills, Bills, Bills. Jennifer, this was a Destiny's Child song.
Yes.
She's like, who did this?
This is when I recognize it.
When I was a DJ, this was a song. Oh. Like, people wanted to hear Bills, Bills, Bills.
Were you a DJ in like the 90s? Where were you?
I was a DJ on a cruise ship in like 2004. And this song was still like 4 years old at the time. But everybody wanted to hear Survivor, the Destiny's Child song. And I hated that song. So I played this one to kind of placate them. So
cruise ships are about 10 years behind on the music scene.
Oh, totally. I had like... all my CDs were ancient, and it was a time when like the number one song was performed by Jennifer Lopez and Ja Rule, and that was not going on. Like, I wasn't going to support that in any way.
Or Britney.
Actually, Slave for You was kind of a kicking song at the time.
Slave for You is fierce.
I didn't hate that one. It is
all
fierce.
All people look at me like I'm a little girl.
I never have, Ed. I'm just... for the... Glee Ball Podcast with Josh Jen, and Ed. I am Josh.
I'm Jen. Ed, you still
Ed?
There?
Did we lose?
You didn't hear that?
No, I didn't hear anything.
Oh my goodness, no.
Wait, like, here. Okay, I'll turn down the music. Here we go. For the Gleeful Podcast with Josh and Ed, I'm not editing this, by the way. This is in the show.
Did you not hear that? I totally played it over, Skype. Did that not work?
Oh, no. Okay, try
it. Here we go. For the Gleeful Podcast with Josh and Ed, I'm Josh.
I'm Jen. Total silence.
Total silence.
Whatever. Fine. I've been ninja editing an audio clip together. I want you all to know.
Okay.
Aww, it was ninja ed.
Ninja editing.
And so apparently you're not going to hear it. It was pretty epic. So I don't know.
I believe you. I have it.
I will send it to you. Okay. To be played next week when I'm supposed to do the outro. Just hit the button. And I'll be like boom bang. Okay. Whatever. It's all boom, boom, and no pow. And that's so 2008. That isn't what I was going to do, but whatever. That's what I'm doing now. I literally died when Sue Sylvester said that. I was like...
That was a pretty great line. All right, buddy. For the Gleeful Podcast, we will talk to everybody in a couple days. Good night.
Good night. And then when the bill comes all of a sudden you be acting dumb. Don't know where none of these calls come from. Your mama's numbers, you're more than one. Just trifling, good for nothing type of brother. Silly me, I have it, I found another. A baller, when times get hard I need someone to help me out. Instead of a scrub like you who don't know what a man's about. Can you pay my bills, can you pay my telephone bills? Can you pay my auto bills? Can you pay my bills?
Jennifer, do we need to pay our automobiles? Are we caught up on those?
Yeah.
Just ask it.
The hamster dance. You tried to leave, good for nothing type of brother. Oh, silly me.
Why haven't I found another? Do you pay my telephone bills? There ain't no second chance against a thing with 40 eyes, girl.